You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network. PackersTalk.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If the Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signing.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Of the Lucy Van Pelt Society. I'm Kelly. Woo-hoo. Joining me as always is Colleen and the third member of the LVP Society, Anita.
Yay.
Yay.
Hooray. And I actually didn't screw up the intro too bad. So hey guys, we're back.
Yay.
The girls are
we're
here.
Back like a bad rat.
So let's talk some footy ball. So raise your hand if you saw the whole game. Wait, that would be me, because, Anita, why didn't you see the whole game?
Let's see. Because I live in the Chicago Bears median area, I got to see a really crappy game that led into the Packer game, which I can't even remember what two teams were playing.
Was it Miami?
It was so bad. Yes, it was Miami and Phoenix. And then once Fox realized that Aaron Rodgers was not playing anymore, and they let the game stay with Brett Hundley for, like, one series. And then they decided that the Tampa Bay game would be more beneficial for us to watch. So we switched us out. Which, luckily, it ended before the Packer game, so we got to see, like, the last 2 minutes. But I switched over the red zone, which is what I do when the Packers aren't being shown around here. And I was watching Twitter, so I knew the Packers had scored. And I kept staring at the screen going, okay, you're supposed to show me all the touchdowns. Come on, show me the touchdowns. And they waited. So I eventually got to see it. But
so Colleen,
and that was the what touchdown was that? That was Janice's touchdown.
Janice, which makes me hate him a little less, I think. He gave him a stay of execution in my book.
Yeah.
So we'll
talk
about
it.
That
was
good.
It was good.
It was definitely.
I got to see the fourth quarter. I was volunteering for a certain organization at Lambeau, so I was up in the suites. I walked by the door that Olivia Munn enters and exits several times, but I didn't actually see her because there's a guy posted at the door, and if you stay too long, he gets mad at you. I was told. I didn't stay too long. He didn't get mad at me. He was actually very friendly. Yeah. But she apparently was in there. So I begged the person I was volunteering for at the end of the third quarter if I could, like, bag cleaning up any further so I could watch the end of the game because I'd only caught snippets of it. And I'm like, this is too good to miss. I can't stand it. I got to go watch. And the person was kind enough to allow me to do so. So I watched the fourth quarter in 1919, which I'm going to give a shout out because I've complained about this place on Twitter before. It's the official restaurant slash bar at Lambeau. They had a really rough opening, in my opinion. I'd been there a few times. The food was terrible. The service was awful. And this time it was packed and the service was really good. I had a flatbread while I was waiting for my friend Larry, who shot photographs at the game to take me home, and the food was good. It was props to them. That was a good experience. But I saw Janice score. I was like, yes! And I'm not a Janice girl. I'm not that girl, but it was so cool.
Well, this was one of the few games I didn't actually go to. I had already tried not to die the night before as the snow started. I was coming back from a swim meet with my little monsters. And you know, I got up that morning with every intention of going to the Lambeau, and our road wasn't even plowed yet. So I started making phone calls. First one I called was Colleen. Hey, Colleen, want my ticket? She's like, idiot, I'm volunteering.
The
game. Then I call other people. They're like, oh, no, this is CD. I don't know. I've got to shovel my driveway. I'm like, what?
When you live there, it's not. It's kind of like, do I really want to go to the game? Now, if someone offered me tickets and I was able to drive, I'll stop barking.
Yeah.
Now my dog's gonna start barking. I would have jumped at the
growling.
Chance. Yeah, my 13-year-old lab who, all of a sudden, when he realizes no one's paying attention to him, decides to sing to you to get your attention.
Little butt-faced carrier that spilled milk on the laptop the last time we did a podcast is banned from the room right now.
He has been banned.
I tried leaving the room because they were wrestling.
They followed you.
Yeah, they followed me. So I'm looking at them now thinking it's going to happen again. They're like toddlers. You know how a toddler waits till you're on the phone and decides?
Yeah, a toddler nothing.
I'm going to mess up.
That does that.
Yeah. Dogs are the same way.
Just wait. Mark my words. Between now and the end of the pod, my 10-year-old will show up. I'm putting money down right now. Well, anyway, it worked out. I found people that were able to take my tickets off my hands, my brother-in-law and my step-nephew, who has never been to Lambeau before.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Is that Mario or is that Anita's dog?
Mario for once.
Those were my dogs.
All right. Well,
it was
anyway,
kind of an odd groaning sound.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to protest.
Let's discuss, because I missed all but like one of the turnovers. So would you guys explain to me what happened? Because I didn't realize how many there were until I actually got home and started reading.
Okay.
And I was like, there were how many?
Yeah.
Wow.
So there was,
all right.
The best part was watching Twitter because there was a meme of Richard Sherman and holding up like four or five fingers. And at first, somebody posted, Russell Wilson has how many interceptions? And there's the picture of Richard Sherman showing four. And then someone had a similar picture of Richard Sherman showing five fingers and holding up his hand. And then somebody did it again with, Russell Wilson has how many interceptions? And then there's a picture of Richard Sherman showing five. So I was rather entertained by the person that kept doing that on Twitter.
Well, I did the count from Sesame Street with a five. Five interceptions. It's just I absolutely cannot stand Russell Wilson. And let me just go into a rant, okay? I went to the University of Wisconsin. I gave them 4 years of my life and probably more money than anyone ever cared to imagine because I paid for school myself. And I'm still paying it off. He did, 3 months? Didn't even finish a class because he, you know, went to the bowl game and then was done? And that does not make you a manager.
Nice.
That makes you an opportunist. But anyway, I know people will disagree with me, but it was just delicious watching Nanobubbles have interception after interception. Some of them were like volleyball tips. I don't care if it counts as an interception because it was
exactly.
A poorly conceived throw.
There were a couple of them that, the receiver bounced it into the air, and there was Packer waiting for it with open arms. But, that's an interception. Aaron Rodgers had a few of those. So.
Yeah, but five was delicious.
Yes.
The Schadenfreude was mighty tasty.
Yeah.
And
I kept walking by the TVs and going, how many points have we scored? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. How did that happen?
However,
and then I got And then I saw how many interceptions he threw, and I went, oh, okay, well, that makes more sense, doesn't it?
Well, my husband,
yes,
who remembers.
Welcome back, Mr. Randall.
Yeah, no kidding.
How many did he have? He had two of them, right?
Two. He had two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Micah Hyde had one, so that's three. Oh, crud. Who had the other two?
Yeah, I'm trying to think now, too.
All right, we'll look it up later.
Dead air.
Because I don't have my computer up to actually.
Didn't Burnett have one? Or no.
No.
Somebody right, intercepted one in the fourth quarter.
Okay, all of you listeners, since we're ill-prepared and nobody has a laptop up, look it up yourself. Why don't you let us know?
I left my iPad in the room with the dogs.
I'm avoiding my kids and my dog. But it was wonderful. The secondary, which has been horribly lacking for most of the year, actually came to play. And the Randall and his timing and jumping these routes was just spectacular yesterday.
I hope that means they're back for good, at least until what, January or something.
Yeah,
when we take our hopefully when we're still playing in January.
Oh, I
hope. That's another thing that I'm concerned about. But
Aaron Rodgers was not incorrect when he said they were going to run the table. Everyone thought he was nuts. They're like, okay, crazy dude, whatever you say. But he's a 3-for-3 correct.
Yeah. Well, they more or less have to, because luckily the Lions, who have had a pretty soft schedule, have to play the Cowboys and the Giants before they meet.
So they actually have a tougher schedule. But we're still tied with the Vikings, and they win on tie break right now. So it's absolutely imperative. Not only do we win the very end of the Christmas Eve. Was it Christmas Eve? Yeah, Christmas Eve game. But we have to win out to even be considered for the playoffs. And I didn't, even a month ago, I was like, bring out your dead, the team's over, get rid of McCarthy, fire everyone, let's draft well. And now we're back in the thick of things, looking at a possible wild card berth.
Well, a lot of it, I think, is possible. Aaron Rodgers seems to have found his rhythm back. And I'm sure it has to do with something being injured or not injured, or he's not saying, or –
Well, now he's injured two legs, so.
Yeah, but now it's obvious where before it was, is it the girlfriend situation? Is it a family situation? What's wrong with Aaron Rodgers? Now at least we know he's limping. There's something wrong, but he's playing through it.
So that said, with five interceptions, what the hell's wrong with Russell Wilson? He and Ciara having problems or what?
Yeah, there you go. See, if it's good for one, it's good for another.
Exactly. That's how ridiculous. It's not a ridiculous.
Hey. His wife's pregnant, so that must be the problem, right?
Yeah.
Right?
What?
I'm just.
Maybe.
Yeah, his wife's pregnant.
Yeah,
got
I heard it too.
Swim.
Yeah.
I wonder if his swimmer is using
the
bubbles as well.
Problem. Oh, yeah.
See, doesn't it sound ridiculous when you say it out loud? It sounds ridiculous when you say it out loud. So if it sounds ridiculous with Russell Wilson, don't you think it sounds ridiculous in the context of Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah. Oh, I was, but, no, there was, I want to say Homer did it. He posted a picture of Olivia Munn next to Yoko Ono. Now,
nice.
You know, I'm not a big Yoko Ono fan,
but
come
on. Break up the Beatles. Come on.
Yeah. But only because I don't like her screechy singing.
No talent, weird avant-garde song.
But, yeah, exactly. But, why is it always a woman's fault?
Always.
It goes back to the blame Eve. It's the Eve mentality that goes back since the dawn of time.
Yeah,
well,
I think we just saw that last month,
This is just like my meme I have on Facebook right now. Name your unpopular opinion. No politics.
Yeah.
That said, donuts filled with frosting are delicious. I don't care. Haters to the left.
Hey, we could spend the entire hour talking about that thread on Facebook.
It is the funniest thread. But
it still hasn't died.
No, it hasn't.
The best thing is, 60-year-old people from my church are answering on it. It's the funniest thing.
I got no more people are making afternoon because of you. I want you to know that it is all your fault. Because I kept looking at my phone.
Okay, so for those who don't know,
my boss doesn't know I podcast. Thank you, Jesus.
So if you want to start some fun on your own Facebook thread, start with okay, I want to hear your most unpopular opinion that doesn't have anything to do with politics, go. And I started it with, I hate Pearl Jam. They're an overrated band that sucks. And it just went off from there. And I think we're like 200 and some answers later. And it's like everyone's dirty confessions. It's like, I like fruitcake. Joe Buck's a good announcer. I hate the Wizard of Oz.
I like Nickelback. Who did that? Colleen did that, didn't she?
My friend Cindy shows up and she's like, has anyone mentioned that they actually like Nickelback? I'm like, unfortunately, yes.
I was like, yeah, I did it first. Me, right over here.
And there was one comment, only one related to the Packers, and it was Aaron Rodgers is an a-hole. And, yeah,
we all know why.
But to prove that he's not totally an a-hole, did you guys hear what he did today?
No.
I did.
There was this I happened to see it this afternoon. There was an autograph signing. I think it was for charity or something at Lambeau. And people were lined up in this giant, you know, zigzag maze thing. It's like 2:30 last night to be in line to get an autograph from him. And so what he did is knowing people that were there all stinking day, which, wow, that's more dedication than I'll ever have, pizzas for them.
Yeah.
An a-hole does not order pizzas for people waiting in line to buy an autograph.
No kidding.
Nope.
Nice. Hope it was good.
Yeah,
nice.
That was sweet.
It wasn't Papa John's, was it? It wasn't delivered by Papa John and Peyton Manning, was it?
Oh, God, I hope not. I don't know. I just saw pictures of people eating pizza.
I saw boxes. It was a Salvation Army fundraiser. I know that.
So what
is that gesture?
He didn't have
to
do it.
Domino's. No. No, he didn't have to do it. I thought that was wonderful.
That's excellent.
That's excellent. You know, he does these things without looking for recognition, and I think people forget that when they're like, oh, he's just a jerk, and he's got it coming to him.
Yes.
Okay, none of us actually know him, but, you know, when you feed a bunch of masses that are paying, you know, that you have to have no emotional connection to, that you don't have to have an emotional connection to, that's a good person.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you think Brett Favre would have ever bought people pizza? No.
He might have.
No.
All right, no political, just like my unpopular.
Your brother would say no.
He might have bought them beer.
Yeah, he might have. Brett
might have bought them beer.
Yeah,
I can see him. Yeah.
But Rodgers looked like the Rodgers of old yesterday. Yeah, you know, for a while he had a perfect passer rating.
Yeah, it was like 150
and,
for the day, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was something spectacular. I know he was at a perfect number for a while. No interceptions,
yeah.
A gazillion yards. It seemed like Devontae Adams was made out of Velcro because anything thrown his direction stuck to him.
And he knocked Richard Sherman on his bouquet.
Yeah, and that's a bad thing.
That was awesome.
I saw early in the game, CeeDee Angeli posted a picture of Richard Sherman, speaking of Sherman memes, and it said, Richard Sherman gave Devontae Adams' head is not a way to win the game. Well, he had it wrong. It's like Devontae totally got Sherman's head by the end of the game because Sherman got neutral.
Oh, yeah.
And
I'm going to use our little Hot Pockets here thing because I'm going to cuss so that, you know, because Al, on your unpopular thread, mentions he hates cussing.
Hot Pockets.
Okay. So Richard Sherman got booted on his
Hot Pockets.
By the Devontae Adams.
Wait, play that again. I didn't know we actually had a Hot Pockets soundbite. Play it again.
Hot Pockets.
Oh, my God, we have soundbites. I never knew that.
Is that what
we're
playing?
I'm figuring out the dashboard. I'm getting it. I even remembered how to set the show up, and it's been like a month since we did it. I'm proud of myself.
So anytime we want to swear, we have to play that?
Yeah. Al doesn't like swearing, except for I slip pretty much every show. I don't drop the F-bomb, but I do usually swear, just to torment him, basically. That's why I do it.
I think it screws up our iTunes rating, so, yeah, Hot Pockets.
That's what he says. But I, after your unpopular thread, I think he just doesn't like it.
That's probably true.
But yeah, Sherman.
I love you, Mom.
But Sherman was non-existent yesterday. It was like Legion of Boom, like Legion of whatever. Don't care.
And they were getting very frustrated with that too. I mean, there was some extra. Oh, the TJ Lang getting. He's not happy this morning. Who was it? Averill. What didn't he play for Detroit with Ndamukong Suh? Cliff Averill.
Maybe
they were on the Lions together, so that's probably where he learned this. That he hit TJ Lang in a very unwelcome area of the body.
No. He punched him in the hot pockets.
Hot pockets.
I avoided being graphic with that. You know, if you know what I mean.
What is it with people in TJ Lang's unmentionables? Seriously. He gets junk punched more often than anybody.
And he just sits there and goes, whatever, bring it on. Well, he's probably wearing
it. And then tweets about it.
As he should. gotta protect
Well, it's like, people try to junk punch TJ Lang, and then defenders who sack Aaron Rodgers always try to teabag him.
Oh, dear God.
The visuals I'm getting
right now just are not good.
Well, no,
so I can't
like
say that cuss, but you can say teabag. What is up with that?
Now, there's junk punch and teabag. There's nothing, there's no vulgar in there. Those are normal words.
Eight fifty-one. Okay, people want real analysis. Okay, you can listen to really, really, really informative analysis, or you can listen to the hot mess. And I think we're going for hot mess tonight.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Lucy Van Pelt Society does not disappoint.
No, we haven't told anyone to go hot pocket themselves tonight. That's a win.
And in other news, thanks to our quarterback's beautiful play, I knocked Paul Dyer out of Jen Loves Goats in the playoffs, which I didn't even know I made because I haven't set my name up in weeks.
Oh, that's right.
You know what place
right
I'm
now.
In.
I lost to D's Nuts, just so you know.
Is there a last place trophy for Jen Loves Goats? Because, you know, I'm in the running for that one. I'm pretty solid.
Since the trophies are being purchased at the local trophy shop, yeah, there could be a last place trophy.
Well, to tell you the truth, the night we had the draft, my son was here because I had to – somebody's birthday, I had to be – I was running late. I got – you know, I wasn't home in time. So I told him, get on my computer at – I think it was like 8 o'clock and start the draft for me because he knows how to do it. So he's drafting, and I come home, and I look over his shoulder. I went, you drafted Cam Newton? And he said, Mom, he's one of the top scorers for quarterbacks. Okay, whatever. So, and the next day, they ranked my draft as A+. And I said, thanks, Chris. You know, I was like, okay, he got me. Well, he got me Greg Olson and Cam Newton, and it looked like a pretty solid lineup. How many – months later, I'm in last place. So that's how much Yahoo is ranking my draft as A+. And I'm in 16th.
Well, that's okay. Last week I played Kaepernick, and what did he have, 3 yards? Not touchdowns, yards.
He had like 12, and it wasn't all his fault, I will say. That team is a dumpster fire, and it's not all him.
Who had the Packer defense and Jed Loves Goats? Because whoever did,
person that played against me did. Because
did you play?
And she also had Le'Veon Bell. I had him on my other league, and I had 49 points. And then I was all happy and going, oh, cool. And then I went and looked at my Jed Loves Goats, and I went, I'm playing against him in this league. And it always seems to happen because last time I played her, she was when the Packers lost to Detroit, and who was the receiver that had like a ton of points when he played against the Packers, and we haven't heard from him
since.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
she had
exactly.
him, too.
Nice.
So it's like whenever people play me, they have one person that just scores 50 points.
I always have the brutal bench.
Oh, great.
Like, I'll have, like, Le'Veon Bell, but he'll be like on the bench.
Yeah.
Why me?
Yeah, so I had one team that did well, and then my other team, which did not yesterday. Because the team that did well also had Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams, and Jordy Nelson on it.
So you had the insufferable, you were playing the insufferable homers?
I had Aaron Rodgers.
I'm the only Packer fan on that, yeah. I'm the only Packer fan in that league, so when we held our draft and I start drafting all the Packers, all the Bear fans I'm playing against start rolling their eyes because they know there's a Packer on the board and he's just going to draft him.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I just did it so I could beat Aaron's brother in Jen Loves Goats, and I still don't know if I even beat him because, like I said, I haven't set my lineup in weeks. After the bye week, I put all my guys back that I was going to play, and I just let it go.
Yeah,
and
I lost.
Apparently, I made the playoffs. You're new.
I did that.
I lost him, but not by much
with
the
no
week
defense.
I played him. I don't have any Packers.
All right, Aaron's big brother. Aaron's big brother.
All right, so let's get back to the game. All right. The best hot take I saw yesterday was CeeDee Angeli comparing Clay Matthews to A.J. Hawk.
Oh, God. Who did that?
Well, CeeDee.
CeeDee.
Oh. Oh, good.
And you know what? It's like takes hot, all of them. But he did have a point because Matthews played, but then he kind of slipped into the woodwork. You never really saw him.
Yeah, they didn't talk about him too much.
No.
Well, he was playing with one arm in his, I will say, in his defense, you know, and he's playing inside right now because he has to because they're decimated. I've actually been impressed with the amount of effort that Clay has put in because he is hurt. I mean, and for once it's not his hamstring, although I'm sure that's still hurt. But his shoulder is, and having a bad shoulder myself, I can safely tell you, playing football with it would suck. But he's trying really hard. You know, he's in there, he's trying to play, he's trying to do his best. I thought Pep had a good game from the little bit I saw. And I hope he retires because I think, you know, his time is up. But I think he's been a great leader in the locker room. And he's still giving it everything he's got. He may not have as much as he used to, but he's trying really hard.
Well, with the injuries, I think it's – I'm glad he's there. Let's put it that way. I mean, and Clay Matthews pretty much – you know, if we lost him, the linebacking core is pretty thin. So
because Nick Perry's hurt right now too, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And is Jake Ryan out for good?
He played yesterday, didn't he?
Did he play yesterday?
I thought he did.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's on Martinez or not.
He's out.
But
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Hey,
but at least the secondary
question,
seems to be getting healthy.
And
I mean, the linebacking core is still decimated, but the secondary seems to be getting healthy, which is nice.
And more importantly, they're starting to gel as a team without Sam Shield. Hey, totally unrelated question. Spiders on the ceiling, does that count as a spider infestation? Because I'm looking at my ceiling right now.
Oh,
I'm going to burn my house down.
You need to burninate your ceiling. That needs to go.
There's like two little spiders on the ceiling. All right, totally unrelated. But anyway, totally unrelated. Hi, squirrel.
Yeah, better than bats.
But I think they're starting to move beyond the shell shockness of not having Sam Shields. And, you know, you had Joe Buck saying, well, you know, he's ailing. And I'm like, he's never coming back, is my guess. But they're young, they're green, but the secondary didn't look as green as they did in the first half of the season. They actually looked like they knew what they were doing. Their timing was great. Their tackling was more impressive than it had been in weeks because there was a lot of Olay type stuff and totally missing entirely, but they were getting it.
So maybe
the
confidence
impressed.
Factor is kicking in too. They're getting a little better.
So
they're starting to have more confidence in their own abilities. And when they were in the beginning of the season, they didn't have that. You know, they were just kind of wide eyed and holy crap, I'm on Lambeau Field attitude, where now it's more of a, they're starting to get used to working with each other too. I mean,
yeah,
now one,
they're not getting in each other's way, which they were doing. And Randall, you know, he had the injury, but I think he's also getting over his sophomore slump.
Yeah, I would say so. I'd say his performance yesterday, yeah. There was the one where he just, was it his interception where he just kind of came running from nowhere and leaped in front of the, it was right in the end zone, Seattle's end zone.
Yeah, it
and
was
saved
like,
a touchdown.
Like, everyone was watching, and you could hear everyone on Twitter's up, oh, my God, he's going to blow this. And he just, yeah, he kind of flew out of nowhere, and his timing could not have been more perfect.
Yeah.
It's like he saw that route, and he timed it perfectly. His closing speed was excellent, and he jumped the receiver and got the ball without even touching the guy. It was
because
great.
Because even the Seattle receiver just kind of almost froze when he did it. Like, where did he come from?
You know, exactly. When he, it's like, whoa!
You know, and it was that was gorgeous. That was just awesome. Because
that
we were all on Twitter, I kept noticing people were thinking, oh, great, here we go. They're going to score, get the momentum, score at the end of the half, blah, blah, you know. And then all of a sudden, Randall has that interception and just takes the wind out of Seattle's sails.
Even stuff like that, and the fact that we were up by, what, 4 or 5 scores, my not-so, you know, fanatic husband who likes football but not like we do looks at me and goes, hey, we're not out of Dodge yet. You guys remember the NFC Championship. And I, you know, it wasn't until 2 minutes left. I'm like, okay, they can't score 4 times. I think we're okay. Because once
yeah.
they did that onside kick, I know, I was totally triggered with the onside kick. I'm like, oh, my God, nobody screwed this up.
I was,
when
I
they did the
right
onside kick,
Rob going, hold me. Just hold me, please. Because
did you see
I didn't know about
kick
the onside
already.
Kick, but
okay,
I kept thinking.
Okay, they scored their one. The one and only touchdown. So now they're down like, by, what, 28 points, something
yeah.
like that. And they did an onside kick, and I'm like, oh, God, you know, it's going to go up in the air, and somebody's not going to know their role. You're going to be the hero, and it's going to be the NFC Championship all over again. And Joe Buck's going to start mentioning the fail Mary like he'd already done. And like, oh, we just can't catch a break. No, there was a tight end who knew his role, and he fell on the ball, and he didn't screw it up. It was awesome.
By the time they had done the onside kick, Fox had already switched over to the Tampa Bay game on me. So sure. I was watching the red zone and watching Twitter, and all of a sudden I kept seeing Brandon Bostic's name pop up. So I said, oh, did somebody try an onside kick? And that's when then they showed it on the
sure
red zone.
They showed the old onside kick or the new onside kick?
Well, they kept saying, oh, please, or – then someone tweeted, I don't know where he is, but and then said something nasty about him. And, you know, I'm kind of over it because as far as I'm concerned, he's not the only one that screwed up at the end of that game.
They all
did.
No. And I felt bad.
Yeah. He was just one of several people that didn't do their jobs. And so I refuse to blame him, more unlike, you know, some people.
However,
there were a lot of people that blamed him.
I'm happy he got cut because he needed a clean start. He really did. I don't think he would have ever lived it down in Green Bay. And he, as far as I know, he's still in the league. I think he's with the Jets, maybe?
Yeah. I think so, too.
But I think
he went to the Vikings.
I think he's doing really well.
No, he's no longer with the Vikings. He went to the Vikings right afterwards because they did their
right.
dumpster dining like they normally do.
Yeah.
But I'm glad
yeah.
he got a fresh start because it wasn't like he was, like, willfully ignorant about that play. You know, he tried to be the hero and, you know, didn't go well.
He choked.
But,
it was, you know.
He choked, but he got a fresh start, and he's still in the league, which I think, you know, second chances are a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so
I never
got into the blaming him thing, you know, as far as
well,
after that game.
Well, they all fell on their face.
Well, I blamed Mike McCarthy after that game. I blamed the play calling.
Oh.
That was my.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
and
that was my big thing. So I wasn't going to blame Bostic. I was going to blame Mike McCarthy on that one.
That impressed me yesterday. Because yesterday, you know, he started to ease off the gas at the beginning of the third quarter. I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to just open a giant bullpen to come in. But then it seems like he changed his mind. It's like, oh, we're going to be aggressive and score many points. Awesome. It's like playing, watching college ball instead of McCarthy ball, which was like, okay, let's just start a bunch of draw plays and eat clock with 30 minutes to go. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Well, I think of all Elliot Wolf strolled by and casually said, I'm going to be your boss. I wouldn't do that if I were you.
You would hope. But it seemed like that ease off the gas.
Because if I was Elliot Wolf, that's what I'd be doing.
Well, it's like, you know, I got really, really worried when they put Neo in. It's like, oh, God, here we go. You know, it's going to be, you know, look, let's run for 1.5 yards and punt. But then after that one draw, you know, one series that had starts in it, it's like he suddenly got pulled off the field again, and then it got things going again.
And
well, I think out of all teams to not take your foot off the gas, you know, it was almost like he had to prove something, and Seattle was the perfect team to do that against because it's still fresh in everybody's mind what happened the last time they played Seattle. And
before that when they, like, screwed the pooch with the Fail Mary, so.
Yeah, and so it's like, okay, we have to not only beat these guys, we want to beat them badly because we want to put all those demons to rest.
And pee on the ashes afterwards. I think that was important for the Packers as well.
True. Bury them.
So,
correct
me if I'm wrong, did Christine Michael have a really good game? I saw, like I said, I saw bits and pieces. Looked like he ran well.
He
didn't have a spectacular game because he still was underutilized.
Yeah. Well, he's new, so, you know.
Yeah, Ty Montgomery seemed to have more flashy plays at running back, like the one where he just kind of moved the entire line. And he's not that big, so that's what they kept talking about. Tweedledum and Tweedledee
like...
kept talking about how small he is, but that he moved the entire line.
He's not a running back size. No, but they're making him sound like he's like little, like Phil Epps, you know?
Yeah.
You're like, five
oh, by
nine,
the way, by the way,
pounds.
Kelly.
You know,
I saw this guy yesterday, and he looked like somebody like that could have driven the white Bronco, but it wasn't because it was Troy.
Shut up, it wasn't.
And... I saw Troy Finn. I didn't barf on
he
it.
Did?
He drove the white Bronco? Okay, I'll take that.
Well, you know, the whole white Bronco thing and going up in the elevator.
You know what? And then I realized who it was after the fact. It was Ahmad Rashad.
It wasn't Ahmad Rashad. It was a white guy.
I'm just curious if it's possible.
Moments, okay?
I'm,
like,
I'm curious if
it's not possible.
Can Fox ever do a Packer game with Aikman in the booth and not show the graphic about drafting Tony freaking Mandrich?
Oh my God! I was like a senior in high school. That was like 1980.
Yeah,
whatever,
why do we have to see that again? You know, it's like, how many years ago was this? Can we,
Okay, Monday night is on in the other room.
You know he trolls us so hard. He does.
But you know what? You know, Monday night's playing in the other room right now, and I'm pretty sure Gruden's showing some picture of Gruden in the glory days. Because he does it all the time, too, especially when the Packers are playing. He's like, oh, look, guess who was a coach? Back when who knows when? I'm like, yeah, we all know you were a coach for the Packers, Gruden. Whatever, go away now. It's like he told his Uncle Rico. It's like this Uncle Rico is like, no, if they wouldn't put me in, I would want state. But yes, we don't, Gruden. You coach for the Packers, we don't care.
Well, it's like a double-barreled punch in the gut because not only do you see that we drafted Tony Mandrich second that year, but you see who was drafted after Tony Mandrich.
Yeah, that would be
Barry Sanders.
About Troy Aikman. I would have wanted Barry Sanders. However, Lindy Infante and Tom Brotz would have wasted Barry Sanders, and he wouldn't have been great. So, you know,
probably
would have should have. Yeah, they would have wasted his. Yeah, you know, just like they did with Brent Fulwood. You know, any running back in that era was terrible because they didn't have the supporting cast around them.
Nope.
So, yeah, could have, would have, should have. Barry Sanders would have been awesome, but he would have been totally squandered in that regime.
But there was a Don Majkowski mention yesterday. I didn't hear the context. I was in the other room, and I didn't hear the context of the conversation. But all I heard was Magic Man, Don Mikowski, and I thought, why are they talking about him?
You know why they talked about him? It's because Brett Huntley came out for the Brett Huntley Show, which does not have the same ring as the Maddie Flynn Show. The Brett Huntley Show started, and he has the same jersey number as Mikowski. He's got number seven. So it's like you can tell that Aikman and Buck did, like, no research on Brett Huntley. They're like, well, he has the same jersey as Mikowski. Yeah, yeah. That's what we know about him.
Yeah, he started for UCLA, you guys. Idiot.
And he's not a slouch either. However, he is coming into himself. The learner is now the master. And he is the most hilarious photo bomber on the entire team.
They did a great job yesterday. I saw the picture. Oh, my God. They photobombed Aaron so bad.
Creepy photobombing is creeper because they were, like right behind them. And it was like, we're not even going to be subtle about our bombing. And then when Aaron was getting interviewed on television, Brett Huntley just walks up behind him and stares at the camera.
Is that the one you posted? With the smirk?
Yeah,
he has, like, the smirk on his face.
Creepy little photobomb is creepy. But the best one was last week when Aaron was photobombing, and Huntley was behind him photobombing the photobomb.
See, he had – the photobombs weren't working without QB2 in the picture. Because remember, when Matt Flynn was around, it was always Rogers and Flynn photobombing together. And then when – We didn't have
that
one anymore.
There was one, and Woodson was in it too, on his tiptoes, like, here I am.
Yeah, that was awesome.
But he needed QB2 to join him to make it complete.
Who was
and
the
someone
guy
finally
in the picture
told
yesterday.
Huntley to do it.
Oh, who was photobombing with Huntley? Was that QB3?
Yes, it was QB3.
I didn't see.
Because this week. Oh, it's a whole.
Yeah,
I saw
the picture, and they're like, here's the QBs, and there's Aaron, you know, being all captainly.
And they're like totally invading your in space photobombing. It's like, we're going to be creepy within 6 inches of you photobombing. Now, there was a photobomb from a couple weeks ago. It was an away game, and it was when they lost. I want to say it was like 3 weeks ago. Was Aaron actually in the stands? Because I swear to God, there's like a photobomb from someone like in the first row of the stands wearing a home jersey. But if you look at it, like, is that Rodgers or is that actually just a fan?
That wouldn't surprise me, actually.
No, I've been like,
gotta make
it from a long game. But anyway, he didn't look bad. He didn't throw very many times. And I think his job yesterday was, okay, eat as much clock as you possibly can.
Right.
So
yeah.
It was mostly, you know, running plays, a draw play here and there that didn't go anywhere. I wish they would do more than run.
Don't throw in completions that can stop the clock. You know, just keep the clock running. That was pretty
much
his job.
But the razzle-dazzle running play with Janice happened on his watch.
Right.
And they did that the week before. There was a similar play where it was like a reverse with Janice, and suddenly, you know, as much as I think he can't run a clean route to save his life, he's at least very fast.
Yes.
And you really saw his speed on that play. So I dislike him a little bit less. But the thing is, they've run this play twice. You're just going to have to assume that it's going to happen a third time. So I think it's already kind of run its course. They need to come up with a new razzle-dazzle.
Yeah, because if any team sees Janice lining up, they're going to go, I know what they're going to do right now. Yeah.
The first time they did it against Houston, it was great because they were having him line up in the same position every single time, like, you know, like he was going to run out and receive it. I'm trying to remember the formation, if he was in the slot, or I think he was in the slot. I don't know. I'd have to look at film again. But they did it like three or four plays in a row where you know, he'd run out and he wasn't the target. He'd draw coverage, and they got used to him being in that formation, and then they ran it, and it was a total, you know, ha-ha, we fooled you. I was surprised that they got fooled by it again yesterday, but I don't think they're going to get fooled a third time.
No, because I'm sure they're watching – yeah, they saw. They're going to watch that play over and over again on film the next few weeks.
So you're going to have to, if you want another razzle-dazzle, you know, ha-ha, we pulled it out of our butt play, they're going to have to do something totally, entirely different. Because fool me once, yeah, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And we've already gotten to the shame on me point, so any other team is going to be predicting that play.
Right.
And if McCarthy runs it again, we know he's stale.
I'm a little nervous about every time Randall Cobb goes back to field a punt. That makes me nervous.
Well, he got dinged up.
He got dinged up yesterday.
Yeah, he got dinged up.
I think he's okay though.
I think the worst injury yesterday was to Jared Cook because he got just jacked, and they were saying he had a contused lung, which could be a bruise in the lung. That's a legitimate diagnosis, but that was also the diagnosis they hid Randall Cobb's collapsed lung behind.
Yeah, that was last year, right?
Yeah, that was last year. That was against the Cardinales, the playoff game.
Right.
In which I told an actor to go hot pocket himself, because I can't say the F word. Hot pocket. you don't cheer for the other team on national television and not get noticed. Shame on you.
No, I had a feeling. Well,
go hot pocket yourself.
Well, when they were carting him off. Go hot pocket
coughing,
yourself.
He's laughing
when they were
knows what I'm talking about. I donated to this charity, too, by the way.
When they were carting Cobb off, what was it, in the first half, I was thinking, no, they're just going to wrap his ankle. I didn't have a feeling that it was enough to keep him out of the game, that they were just taking him back to re-wrap him, which
probably
they can't do.
And probably x-ray him.
Yeah, and which evidently they couldn't do in the P-tent like they can do for Rodgers when they wrap his leg.
Aaron
but,
into the PC,
well,
and I thought he would be
going
back out.
They didn't have x-ray him. They just had to wrap him.
Yeah, there's no x-ray in the P-tent. There's a potty, and then there's a taping table. Oh, my God. Okay, since we didn't have the whole potty tent discussion on a podcast, I coach little soccer fairies, okay, little tiny, you know, 80-pound girls. How come they can go an entire game without having to take a leak, but grown men can't?
And drink Gatorade the entire time.
Yeah, because
they're men. I've had them say, "Hey, look, I win my own bet. There's my 10-year-old. Close the door. Get lost."
Well, I like that our dorky QB last week, Aaron actually explained what was, you know, that he had to quote unquote drop his drawers and didn't want to do it in front of the kids.
Because everybody was like, "What, have to take a leak, Aaron?"
Yes.
But he went in the P-tent last night. And that's why I was surprised that he came out, because, like, right before Huntley went in, he went in. Maybe he had to go to the bathroom. Who knows? But I saw him decking into the P-tent. And I'm like, okay, they're going to rewrap him. He's going to play. He has no intentions of coming out. But then Huntley came in. So maybe he actually did have to go to the bathroom yesterday.
Either that or he didn't intend to come back in the game. But then McCarthy said, you know what, we're not going to, you know, we got this. You're not going back in. You know, we don't need to risk further injury. Which is
right.
And
luckily, that's been one of my biggest complaints about McCarthy this year, is that I don't think he's said to Aaron directly, okay, you need to do, I am your boss, because he is. I am your boss. You need to do this. I don't think he has, and I think he's finally, I think there probably was some conflict there, despite their, you know, love fest that they've had lately. I think there probably was some conflict. It's not Olivia's fault.
Wait, let me
find
my shock face. Hang on.
Yeah, but, you know, if they worked through it, because, you know, Aaron's got to have a lot of faith in McCarthy. McCarthy chose to stick with him when everybody in this area, almost every Packer fan thought he was nuts, instead of going the same and letting Favre back in. So there's got to be a trust level there that's important. But, you know, we all have problems with our bosses from time to time. We all have conflicts. If they can work through that, and maybe they did, you know, maybe Mike finally stepped up and said, look, I'm actually your coach. And at the end of the day, I could put Brent Hundley in.
But, you know, I didn't see anything on the sideline, which
that.
Is encouraging. But I'm not as worried about the hamstring injury. I mean, I'm more concerned that he has another calf tear.
Yeah.
Because out of the blue, they were talking about a calf injury later yesterday. I'm like, oh.
I read calf injury today, too, and I went, what? Yeah.
Well, the quote was from Aaron was he was overcompensating to protect his hamstring, which is understandable, and tweaked his calf. Do we know if it's the same calf that he tore 2 years ago, or is this like a totally new injury?
I don't know.
Hope it's not as severe as it was 2 years ago, because he was hobbling into the playoffs.
So I am
of the belief that I'm a big believer now that if we get into garbage time, we have a big enough lead, pull him out. I originally thought it was a little too early to put Huntley in, but now knowing that he was hurt again on a second injury on top of our first injury, I have no hesitation pulling him out. If we can get up by four scores.
Right. But
and
so
the defense is actually
on fire. He didn't look too concerned walking. Every time they showed him on the sidelines, he was, grinning or cracking jokes with the guys. He didn't seem concerned. Like, if he's like, oh, crap, I just injured my calf again, it hurts, am I going to be able to play? He would have had that serious, stoic Rodgers
face. It would have been like that 2 years ago when he first went down and he crumpled when he hurt his calf, and then he got carted off, his head was in his hands, and I'm like, God, he's done. And then there was that picture that Evan Siegel took of him, standing in the tunnel coming out. I didn't get the sense of seriousness that we got there, because that's when he was like laying on the field like, oh gosh, they killed him, that's fabulous, we have no quarterback. He was definitely limping in between plays, but he didn't seem as doom and gloom on the sidelines. In fact, smirking when they were ahead.
It really wasn't actually. I was cold in the club seat area, which was weird, but our mutual tweep, Larry, who was shooting the game, he said it actually wasn't that bad out there. So
no, they said
it was
27 degrees.
That
so
it helped
was warmer
a little
in Green
bit.
Bay than my. It was 27 degrees at kickoff, they said on TV, which actually was warmer than my side of the state. And nobody looked miserable in the stands, like those games that are like 4 degrees, and you're like, oh my God, why did I do this to myself?
which I have done. I will retell my famous story of the fact that I attended Brett Favre's last starting game as a Packer at Lambeau, and they put Aaron Rodgers in after the first quarter because we had the playoffs locked up. And that was that infamous year that we shall not mention. Eli Manning, I hate you. And I was so mad when they put Aaron Rodgers in. I was furious that I had to sit there for three quarters and watch Aaron Rodgers play. I'm like, what fresh blank is this? What fresh hot pockets
well,
is this?
Well, yeah, I had the same. I had a similar reaction, too.
Yeah, I was horrified.
I was like
saying
the entire next season going.
For the last game, that last regular season game, and it was below zero. And, the Packers had sewn up all of their playoffs, and the Bears were eliminated. So the Bears had nothing to lose, and the Packers could care less. So they couldn't care less. I have to get my words right. So they pulled Brett Favre because it was so cold. They pulled him at, like, halftime.
That was the New Year's Eve.
Because they were like,
wasn't it?
I'm done. And then they put Rodgers in. Because I said to my son, because I'd gotten him the tickets for his birthday, and it was below zero, we were miserable, that I said, I have a feeling we're watching the last time we will see Brett Favre in a Packers uniform in person, and which turned out to be actually right. But, that was also, at the time we were sitting there, I didn't appreciate the fact that I was watching Aaron Rodgers for the first time.
Right.
No, I was bitter the whole next season. I'll admit it, and I've apologized publicly. It's like, Aaron, who? I was afraid to throw him under the bus to get Favre back for another year. But now I got my season tickets with the Packers. My season tickets for the Packers started the first year Aaron was the starter. So I can say I've had my tickets since, 2008? So that was the year they went 6-10. And so what a wild ride it's been. I think he said last night or today, I can't remember, that he doesn't anticipate missing any time other than just being limited in practice. But he intends to play next week.
Not even practice. I mean, he could be one of those situations where he spends a lot of the practice time watching.
which I'm okay with, because if he were to get hurt, we need Huntley to be able to step up and not just manage clock.
Sure.
If he were to get hurt, like say he really tears his calf, we need him, because that's what Huntley essentially did all of fourth quarters. He just managed clock. But it's like, this is the problem that happened when Aaron broke his collarbone, is nobody anticipated, oh my God, what would really happen if Aaron was hurt? And you had Scoots Tolzien, which unfortunately he has not progressed since then, because I watched him play with Indianapolis and he was just as terrible as he's always been. Wasn't ready to do anything but manage clock. And then we had Samuel Wallace who got hurt.
I will say my friend Jeff is a big Colts fan, and he watched that whole game, and he writes about the Colts for a blog, and he said that loss was not on Tolzien. Tolzien did as he will.
But
the
what
best
I said,
he
but you know, he was still more geared towards managing clock. I think the Packers, it's imperative that they, if Aaron's in limited or not in practice this week, that they really work Huntley for the unlikelihood that Aaron goes down hurt, because it is a possibility. He's already gimping, and he's stubborn enough not to not give 100%. So I think
especially if it happens while the outcome of the game is still in question, where he actually has to put together a scoring drive.
So
and,
it's not just it can't be Packers light, which it always seems to be when there's the backup quarterback. And like they ran Packers light when it was, you know, Seneca Wallace. They did it with Matty Flynn, and
God.
They kind of did Packers.
The carousel of revolving quarterbacks that year.
Yeah, so they have to prepare Huntley for there needs to be not just managed clock, there needs to be a plan B just in case for the next couple games.
Right.
Because I think with an irritated hamstring and a calf injury, and I think they're different legs, that there is definite possibility that Rodgers might go down with an injury. And if not, every defense is going to be gunning to create that injury to take him out.
Oh, sure. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So, we're down to about 3 minutes,
Detroit.
Lady. Do we want to make predictions about next week?
Hey, guys,
the Bears still suck.
It's Bears week.
It's on.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing because that'll come up and bite me. I'm not going to predict because I jinx.
Okay, the last time I was Babe Ruth pointing at the stands of the Bears is when Rodgers broke his collarbone, so I refused to make a prediction. And you weren't on the show at that time. It was Chang, Colleen, and I. We're all like, we did a pregame thinking, oh, we'll just, you know, mop the floor with them. And then Rodgers got hurt. So it's our fault that it happened.
And then last year I went to the Thanksgiving game, and guess what happened?
No, I'm going to blame Favre for that one.
Yeah,
but
because
I blame him for everything.
I think Favre is a jinx. I think Mississippi needs to just stay home and not come back for any more games.
No.
Get the hell out of Wisconsin. I said it, Al.
Speaking of which, we were at the game last week. My husband's like, we were at the game last week, and my husband looks at me and goes, so where's Favre? He always calls him Favre, knowing, you know, he's like, where's Favre? And I'm like, Rob, it is right behind us. It's like right over your right shoulder, Rob.
He's right there.
He's spelled right
correctly.
There. Yeah, spelled correctly. So instead of looking at that, wave to Mike and say hi to Mike.
What I do.
And I made my nephew do that. When people have my tickets, I have the simple rule: you have to wave to Mike Michalski on the Ring of Honor because the Ring of Fame.
And I do
because that was my neighbor growing up. So my dad always waves when he goes, and I made my nephew do it. My nephew was on the phone. He's like, "Who's Mike Michalski?" I'm like, "Just do it, kid."
We have
30 seconds or so left. It's Bears week. I think it's important to keep in mind that we can't take anything for granted when it comes to the Bears at Soldier Field. Sure, they may suck dead toads through a straw for free on Tuesdays, but we could still lose to them. You know, they get hot. It's the oldest rivalry in the NFL, and weirder things have happened.
And they have nothing to lose at this point.
Nope, nothing.
Absolutely
gotta
nothing
win.
To
gotta
lose.
Win.
Cutler's out. However, they may just suck for the draft and get rid of Cutler. Who knows? But, again, we're not out of Dodge till we're out of Dodge.
Yes, because all we right. have a very bad habit of making backups look really good sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at my
I'm
going to
start putting the outro music, and for your brother's honor, Kelly, we need to say Roll Tide.
Roll Tide and roll the credits.
Roll Tide.
Roll the credits.
Go ahead and say
that. And thanks to Anita for joining us on the episode of Hot Pockets.
And I played the role.
Is this even our music?